The first item on today's agenda is an essay submitted to the station by Michael Caron, a listener here in the Belfast area. The essay is called Doing COVID Time. Michael is a retired prison guard and prison educator, so his opinion on this topic might be considered expert.
During COVID time, number 6, black and blue. I've been talking about prisons and the pandemic for the last 5 or 6 weeks. In that time, I've thought a lot about the fact my country incarcerates more of its citizens than any nation on the face of the earth. That includes the boogeyman China, even the most authoritarian regimes scattered across the entire planet do not lock up as many of their citizens. I do not believe it is mere coincidence that America also has the highest death rate from COVID-19 of any country in the world, or that blacks are so disproportionately represented among both the prison population and the coronavirus casualties. We believe our nation has the best legal system, the fairest, most accurate way of sorting the innocent from the guilty ever devised. We tell ourselves we also have the best healthcare system in the world, even as the bodies of our fellow citizens stack up like cordwood. Mass incarceration may seem unrelated to coronavirus, but as Black Lives Matter protests spread across the planet, the link is becoming obvious. I grew up watching Westerns where the good guys wore white hats and the bad guys wore masks. Cavalry heroes in blue rode to the rescue, saving the good white settlers inside the circled wagons from the evil red devils closing in for the kill. Then I grew up. I read well-documented history and met some real Indians. I became aware that some folks did not matter very much to most Americans. White cops did not kill Sitting Bull, but they sent an Indian police corps to arrest him or shoot him if he resisted. There's a lot of discussion in the news right now about the role of police in American history, how, from our earliest days, the men given copper badges, the coppers, were employed to maintain dominance and privilege for white folks. The cops maintained order and control as our country was flooded with supposedly dirty and innately criminal, disease-spreading poor immigrants. Dagos, Bohunks, Jaimes, Canucks, and Wops were not really considered white. That was back when white excluded many people. That was back in the days when Maine's Ku Klux Klan mainly targeted Jews and Catholics. Jews, Catholics, and Muslims, no matter what their skin tone, were not really white men. They were too impure in the eyes of many Americans to be one of us. I recall reading about how the Irish were not considered white either, until after they became the leading ethnic group identified with policing. It was their back door to white acceptance. Most Irish were considered a criminal race. Some were initially sent to South Carolina to labor on the plantations, but many shipped in chains to Australia, England's prison colony. Our own Civil War abolished slavery except for convict labor. Southern whites used Jim Crow laws to control and re-enslave black people. Across America, our criminal justice system has been slightly more subtle, but no less racist. The epidemic of incarceration struck poor black communities long before COVID-19 devastated the exact same neighborhoods. America is awakening to the fact that is not a coincidence. Do black lives lost in the pandemic garner any more empathy than black lives lost to police violence? Not in the minds of bigots who claim to see only looting and rioting in the protests that have spread from Minneapolis to Belfast. Not just our little town, but Belfast, Ireland, and London, Seoul and Berlin, Brisbane and Rio de Janeiro. Literally, a pandemic of protests over 4,000 worldwide so far. I hope these essays would bring attention to the perfect storm I saw in COVID-19 reaching thousands of jails and prisons across rural America. It never occurred to me, back when I started recording them, that the world would soon be on fire with a growing awareness of what matters. Democracy matters. Fairness matters. Equal opportunity matters. Real justice matters. We can see now that access to health care, to education, to safe housing, and legal representation all matter in determining who gets locked up, or who dies under a cop's knee, or in the ICU. I think I am through, at least for a while, preaching to the choir. Some of you may still not understand how the death of George Floyd is connected to COVID-19 pandemic or to mass incarceration. I lost my brother a few days ago. He was a nurse. He didn't have COVID-19. But I know the massive wave of depression that broke his grip on hope for this world was intimately connected to the pandemic and the protests. Saying Black Lives Matter does not mean only blacks among the dead from this pandemic matter. It simply highlights that blacks have lost their lives at rates grossly out of proportion to their numbers in our population. It does not mean that George Floyd's life mattered more than my kid brother's life. It does mean my brother was extremely unlikely to get shot by the police when he grew angry with bureaucracies and administrators who showed no empathy for his patients or his staff or anyone else he fought to protect. Some folks will never open their eyes to see how all things are connected. Their minds are closed to important relationships that should matter in a country worth our love and loyalty. Americans are finally seeing connections between our unmatched death statistics in the pandemic and our unequaled mass incarceration. Black Lives Matter has moved beyond the issue of folks shot by police to illuminate a larger reality of systemic disease infecting American society. Thank you for listening to an old white guy with a heavy, broken heart voice his opinions about doing COVID time.
You've been listening to an essay entitled Doing COVID Time, submitted by WBFY listener Michael Caron, a retired prison guard and prison educator. If you'd like to read an essay on the air, ranging from a short editorial of about 3 minutes up to a longer piece, 8 to 12 minutes, like the one you just heard, please get in touch with the station. I'm Vic Treadwell, the station manager. I can be reached at wbfyradio@gmail.com. Thank you for your attention.